Our New Testament reading today is from 1 John 3, verses 11 through 24. For this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who was from the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be astonished, brothers and sisters, that the world hates you. We know that we pass from death to life because we love one another. Whoever does not love abides in death. All who hate a brother or sister are murderers, and you know that murderers do not have eternal life abiding in them. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we're from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of the Lord.
As we continue our sermon series on the letter of James, our second reading comes from the second half of James chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 19 through 27. Again, listen to the word of God. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they look like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. As I was doing my reading and research for this sermon, I came across the following illustration that I thought was helpful. Imagine you're going away for an extended vacation. You're going to be gone for 3 months or more. And so naturally, you need someone to look after your house while you are away. And so you call up some of your friends and line them up, and you leave for them a detailed set of instructions of what you need them to do for you while you're gone. You need them to pick up the mail. You need them to mow the grass, to water the plants, feed the fish. And every so often, you know, run a dust cloth over things or check the bathrooms to make sure everything is okay. You know, the kinds of things that need to be done to a house. And you trust these friends. After all, they say that they care about you. They say that they love you. You trust that they're going to follow your instructions. But as you come home, you pull up to your house and you see that the yard is overgrown. The grass is knee-high. and all the plants are dead. There's a big pile of mail on your front porch. And you go in the house and you find that the fish have gone to their eternal reward. There's a big mold problem in the bathroom because the sink has dripped for 3 months, and a thick layer of dust on all the furniture. What would you think? And so you go to those friends that you lined up to look after your house, and you say, "What happened? Didn't you read my instructions?" And they say, "Oh, we loved your instructions. Your instructions were great. You know, we got together as a group every week and read your instructions. We even committed some of them to memory. Thank you for writing those." How pleased would you be? Was the goal of your instructions to entertain? To give your friends a good feeling right here? Or did you hope that they would actually obey what you had written? That these friends who claimed to love you would put into practice what you had asked them to do? Hearing and doing are two different things. And so it is with the word of the Lord. Because Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven and we are waiting for him to return. And in the meantime, he's left his word and he's given us his spirit to instruct us, to guide us how we are to live until he returns. Now, I realize the scriptures are much more than a set of instructions, but they're not less than that for us. They contain for us the commandments of God, of how God wants us to live. And as we continue this sermon series on the letter of James, we find this instruction left for us: be doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. You know, over the years, as I have studied the scriptures, one thing that I have learned over and over again is there's a reason that commands like that are written down for us. James didn't write that just because he thought it sounded good. He didn't write it because he thought the words were pretty. He wrote it because we in the church tend to disobey that command, tend to be mere hearers of the word rather than doers of the word. We come together here every week to hear the word of God read for us and proclaimed for us, as is happening right now. And we even commit some of the scriptures to memory. And we do this because we say that the Lord is number one in our lives. We do this because we love God. And we truly want to live for him and not just live for ourselves. But then we leave here, and in the car on the way home, we pick a fight with our spouse or with the kids. And we get frustrated with the other drivers on the road, and we let them know just how frustrated we are in one way or another. And we go home, and we see that the answering machine is blinking, and wouldn't you know it, it's that annoying friend or family member that we just are in no mood to talk to because they go on and on and on, and it's the same thing every week. And so we ignore the call and hope they don't call back. Then we go to work on Monday, and we are eager to hear the gossip about that coworker or about the boss, and we stand around the water cooler and say, "Oh, but did you hear this? Did you hear this?" And we pass the gossip on because we want people to like us. And maybe they'll like us more if we've got juicy stories to tell about other people. And we come home, we're tired, we put our feet up, we open the paper, and we read about some dire need in the Harrison area, the need of the hungry, the need of the homeless, or the jobless, and we piously shake our heads. oh, if only somebody did something about that. And then we turn the page and forget. And we turn on the TV because that new reality series is on. And we know that that reality series just is glamorizing the absolute worst aspects of humanity, but we can't wait to watch and be entertained. And we fill our minds with garbage and so on throughout the week, hearing and doing are two different things. And James says that when we live this way, we are like people who look at ourselves in a mirror and then go away and immediately forget what we have just seen. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. So imagine this. You're getting ready to leave your house. You've got some errands to run. And you pop into the bathroom just to take a quick look in the mirror to make sure you're presentable to go out in public. And you find, as my grandmother used to say, that you look like the wrath of God. Your hair sticking up in three or four different places. You got a big smudge of dirt across your forehead. And strangely enough, there's a little bit of breakfast left over right here and between your teeth. What do you do? Do you just walk out and say, completely forgetting what you have just seen? Who would do that? No, you comb your hair and you wash your face and you brush your teeth. You take care of the problem that you've just seen. James says the scriptures are like a mirror for our souls. They're a mirror for our character, for our actions. And when we come here and we hear the scriptures read and proclaimed and are convicted about something in our lives, if we don't take care of it, we're just like that person who sees a problem with their appearance and walks away and forgets about it. Hearing and doing, two different things. And here at the end of James chapter 1, James introduces several themes of doing that he's going to fill out the rest of the letter. We're going to hear these things again, talked about in more detail. But he's got some examples for us of the kinds of things that we are called to do in our everyday lives. And the first thing he talks about is our speech, our words. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because your anger does not produce God's righteousness. If anyone thinks they are religious and they don't bridle their tongues, they deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Worthless. Just in case you didn't think James was meddling enough in your lives, he had to throw that in. Our speech is powerful. Our words are incredibly important. A word can scar a child for the rest of their lives. All you have to do is tell a kid they're stupid. They'll believe it. My mom tells the story that when she was in school, she had a teacher who told her that she was dumb at math. And she believed it. And all through junior high and all through high school, she had in her mind convinced that she couldn't do well at math. And then she got to college, and she had one of those rare teachers who was patient. And he kept explaining the math concepts to her in a variety of different ways until she got it. And she said one day the light bulb went out, and she remembers saying, "You mean that's all there is to it? It's that simple?" One person's words had stayed with her for that long. She's actually quite good at math, by the way. but she didn't believe it for all of those years. Our words are powerful. And if we claim to love our brothers and sisters, we are called to control the words that we say, to be slow to speak and quick to listen, quick to hear what others have to say. So many of us get that backwards. We're quick to speak and slow to listen. And while the other person is talking, we're not hearing what they say. We're thinking about what we're going to say next, because we want to impress them with our wit, with our charm, with our knowledge. We all have that friend or family member who doesn't talk with us, who doesn't talk to us, but they talk at us. We don't even really need to be there. They just keep talking and talking and talking. Don't be that person, James says. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. If we claim that we love each other, but we don't keep a tight control on our words, don't keep tight control on the poison, the bile that we can spew out at each other, then we're liars, James says. You're lying when you say you love people. Now, of course, everybody falls down, and there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ when those words do come tumbling out of our mouths and we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. But it's no excuse to keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's no excuse to not strive to gain control of our tongues, control of our words. If we're not trying to control our speech, then our religion, James says, is worthless, because it's not bearing fruit. We have to bear fruit. And similarly, if we claim to love Jesus, and if we claim to love each other, then religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father, James says, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep ourselves unstained by the world. And this is a theme that we find throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament prophets, that we are called to care for the people that cannot take care of themselves, to care for the people who have some kind of special need. If we love each other, then we'll live that way. So how about it? Are we keeping our baptismal vows? You know, every time we have a baptism here, we all stand and we take vows, we make promises to the young people of our church. Are we taking the time to get to know the young people of our church, to form relationships with them, to find out who they are, what their desires are, what their needs are, what their personalities are, seeing that they are growing up to know and love Jesus Christ? Seeing that they have role models in all of us to show them what it means to live as a Christian. We've promised that we will do that. We say we love the young people of our church. Are we living it out? Are we going to visit those who live in the nursing home or those folks who live by themselves? Are we praying with those people and spending time with those people and making sure that they're not lonely every single day, making sure they know that there are people who care about them and love them and think they're important? Are we sitting with those who are grieving the loss of a loved one, offering our ears, our shoulders to cry on? Are we seeing to the needs of those people who can't quite do everything for themselves? They can't maybe mow their own grass anymore or rake their leaves anymore, or they need help cleaning, or that frazzled mom who needs someone to say, you know what, I'll look after your kids for an hour so you can go off and have some de-stress time. I'd be willing to do that for you because you're important to me and I care about you. And are we doing these things quietly and behind the scenes? Not so that everyone will pat us on the back and tell us how wonderful we are, but simply because it's the right thing to do, the loving thing to do. John says in our first scripture reading for today, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? How can we claim that we actually love God and love each other when there are people around us in need and we're not doing all we can to help them? Are we forgiving our brothers and sisters? There's a big one. Are we still carrying a grudge against someone? Are we hating them in our hearts and wishing them ill? John says, those who say, I love God, and yet hate their brothers and sisters, they're liars. Those who don't love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from Jesus is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And that means forgive, no matter what. Forgive. Are we bringing food for the hungry? Are we supporting the Crisis Pregnancy Center with our time and our resources? Are we supporting the other social agencies in the Harrison area with our prayers and our resources? I know there are a lot of people here who are doing just that, and it's wonderful to see. It's fantastic. Keep up the good work. And I realize one person can't do everything. But we say that we love each other. We say that we are there for each other. We say that we are here as First Presbyterian Church to make a difference in the Harrison area for Jesus Christ. Is that more than just lip service? Is it just an act? Are we pretending here? What are we doing each day to show the love of Jesus Christ in obedience to his word? Hearing and doing are two different things. James says that we are to welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save our souls. He's saying the word is like a seed that needs to be planted in our heart, and it needs to be watered and grow and flourish within us. And that means we need to do more than just hear the word. We need to put it into practice. It's not enough just to read it every once in a while. It's not enough even to just commit it to memory. We can't just talk about love. We can't just have loving thoughts and feelings in our hearts and minds. Otherwise, we can't call ourselves Christians. Otherwise, the religion that we claim to have is worthless. It has to bear fruit. It has to make a difference in our lives. There has to be evidence of what we say we believe. And if you're struggling with that right now, if you're convicted right now by what James is saying, remember what he said last week at the beginning of chapter 1. If you don't have the wisdom you need to do these things, ask God for it, and he will freely give it to you. He will give us what we need to obey his word. He wants us to succeed here. So ask God for wisdom, so that we all can be more than hearers of the word. We can also be doers of the word. And with our lives, can bless others and give praise to God. For to him alone be the glory. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It is challenging to us, Lord. And we all have a lot of room to grow. And we ask that you would be with each and every one of us, Lord, that you would give us your spirit, that you would give us your wisdom, that you would show us the areas of our lives where we need to grow. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.